Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For a preseason game? For the Dolphins? Hey, got to do what you got to do. I'm excited. Football's back. You give me an eight-hour pregame show, I would listen. So normally, the Hockman and Crowder simulcast extravaganza would begin right about now. But today, you are only hearing us on 790 The Ticket because on the other station, they're getting ready for the Dolphins pregame show. So you'll have Dolphins action this evening, tonight, Hard Rock Stadium. We learned in the last hour that the odds, the line has gone up. The Dolphins are 4 to 4.5 point favorites on tonight's game. I'm guessing Greg Likens sitting in for Crowder with me up until 4 o'clock. Brian Monroe will come in at 4 o'clock and sit with Greg Likens for the next couple of hours up until 6 o'clock. We are really doing a number on the lineup today, man. If people weren't confused by all the changes on Monday, we figured by Thursday, I mean, we are going to ratchet up the confusion today, man.
If somebody just gets in back in town, they've been gone for a week, week and a half, today, they're going to be like, what the heck happened to these radio stations?
I said this story on Monday. You know, I've been in radio a long time. So I said this story on Monday. Radio changes all the time, and it's tough because people get used to they have a habit. They have a listening habit. And I would imagine today, too, with Dolphins preseason game one, you've got people tuning into sports radio that maybe haven't tuned in for a while. I know you go, oh, preseason. People know this is the beginning of the season. This is where you start to learn the players. You start to see what the schemes are going to be. You start to see what Brian Flores has to offer and the new coordinators and whatnot, two new quarterbacks. So people start tuning to sports radio. Well, if you were confused or don't know what's going on, there's been massive changes on the two sports stations here. And I covered it all on Monday, and I'm not going to go back through all the rigmarole of everything that went on. But I will say this, where you talk about being confused. I shared this story on Monday. So I get to University of Miami in 1987, and one of my favorite radio stations quickly became 97.3 GTR, the rock and roll animal. Now, how long have you been down here?
I moved down here in the summer of 2001.
Okay, so 2001. So 87, yeah. I'm listening to 97.3 GTR, the rock and roll animal. I go home, and I believe this was 87. It was either 87 or 88. Go home for, like, you know, spring break or Christmas break or whatever. I come back, do exactly what you said. Get into my car and you know, park my car, I don't know, either at the airport or the dorms or whatever. So I've been gone a week or 2 weeks. I turn on the radio, and I'm listening to the rock and roll animal, and they're playing Gloria Estefan. And so, and I've always had this proclivity for radio, always enjoyed it. Even when I was in middle school, I could tell if the top 40 station had changed their jingles or whatever. Like, it was just, that's where my, you know, certain people are like a piano savant or whatever. I was always into radio, could always tell what was going on. So I tune on the rock and roll animal, and they're playing Gloria Estefan, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a weird song for the rock and roll animal. But Gloria Estefan is so popular in South Florida. I'm like, I guess you could, you know.
They made an exception.
Yeah, they made an exception. They're going to stretch. You know, it's probably the rhythm's going to get you. So maybe there was maybe a bass line that you, I don't know, you know. So then the next song comes on, and it's Axel F. It's the, you know, Beverly Hills Cop from Harold Faltermeyer. And I'm going, well, this isn't rock and roll. Like, what am I missing here? And then all of a sudden it's 97.3 The Coast. And then 103.5 She's Only Rock and Roll. And that becomes, I forget what it was. I forget what it became. I mean, it's been 18 stations since, but it was She's Only Rock and Roll for so long. And 94.9 was Zeta Rocks. And so there's always change in radio. And in football, by the way, go and bringing it back to the Dolphins. There's more change in football rosters than there's ever been. And I remember growing up, you know, I was a Bears fan in the 70s. I mean, nobody left a team. Like, it just, your team was the guys that you rooted for year after year, season after season. And nowadays, there's so much movement. So while I know it can be jarring, you tune in and you want to hear a particular show, or you're used to hearing a particular show and it's not there, it can be jarring for a while. But trust me, I got used to 97.3 becoming the Coast from GTR. I don't even know if it's still the Coast or not. I don't know. But regardless, you'll get used to all the lineup changes. But we're confused half the time here as well. Greg Likens walks in. He doesn't know if he's walking to which studio anymore. And today's really a cluster bleep.
Well, last night I was on after you, and you didn't know which station I was going to be on, right?
Right.
Yeah, I
thought you were
having a casual conversation.
Studio. Yeah.
You're like, wait, you're not over there. You're over here. So, yeah, it's all over the place. When I moved down here, I used to listen to Zeta because I like new rock, alternative music. And yeah, then we had this like long void where we didn't really have any rock stations until the Shark came around.
Really shocking for right. South Florida. It was like new rock because it just didn't exist down here.
It didn't at all.
But you know, again, you just kind of you'll fall into a new habit, and it just becomes second nature. And so all the lineup changes, as we're getting used to them, you'll get used to them as well. But today happens to be an outlier because someone texts in, "Why are you off at 4? Why aren't you on till 6?" So, I mean, if you really want the whole story, when the Dolphins schedule originally came out, I knew that the pregame show was going to start today at 3:30. And at that time, I wasn't doing a simulcast. I was only on the Dolphins station. So I knew Crowder was going to start at 3:30. So I would only be on today from 2 till 3:30. So I planned a day with my wife and son, who are here at the radio station today. They had lunch down at the food hall while we did the first hour of the show. And we're going out after. So we had plans today because my kids start school on Monday. Palm Beach County starts on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so I asked if I could take the last 2 hours of the show off to continue on with our plans, and they said yeah. So that's why I'm not on till 6. Tomorrow, everything will be back to normal. Today, it's just a little jagged because you've got the Dolphins football game. And to be quite honest, next Friday is preseason game 2, so there will be some changes on that. So just
but we've had the sports analogy so far. You're talking about calling the bullpen and getting Dan Day in for Alex Solano.
Yes.
But this radio station today is like a hockey team. We've got different shifts coming in and out, right? I mean,
we're jumping over the side, you know, and that's what happened, actually. So Alejandro Solana has gone over to the Dolphins broadcast, which is going to begin in 26 minutes on 560 The Joe. So he jumped over. He took his shift. His line went over,
right.
And they're getting ready to produce the Dolphins pregame show. And so we actually went to the bullpen and called in Dan Day, who hasn't been heard from in a week since there were changes to his show.
By popular demand.
By popular demand, Dan Day is back.
And I'm going to say this. For the first time in an hour, someone is breathing in this control room.
I'll tell you, man. He had a rough outing. Alejandro Solana had a rough outing. He's got the Dolphins broadcast, his first one as executive producer. But we're, you know, you look across, you see Dan Day with the day spa, and things feel good. So let me go to Dan Day for headlines, as long as we're just kind of goofing
this
around here.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a Radio.com sports station.
All right, Dan Day, what do you got in the headlines?
Besides the obvious, Dolphins opening preseason play tonight, 7:30. Ryan Fitzpatrick going to start at quarterback. In addition to that, the team has signed defensive tackle Robert Kimdichie. Kimdichie, the nation's top high school football player in 2013, suffered an ACL tear in December, cut from the Cardinals, is expected to play in September.
Yeah, he's on the, I think he's on the PUP list right now. But it's a low-risk, high-reward possibility. We could talk about it in a second because I'm sure Greg Likens has some opinions on that. What else you got, Dan Day?
I was going to say, we like the Cardinals' sloppy seconds, it seems
like.
I'll
tell you what, man. We are loading up on Cardinals' failed draft picks.
After being swept by the Mets in a four-game series, the Marlins look to rebound tonight at 7:10 against the Braves here in Miami. The Fish will start Eliza Hernandez, while Atlanta will send out Dallas Keuchel.
Ah, very good. What else you got? Anything else?
Last night, in front of 57,000 fans at Hard Rock Stadium, FC Barcelona defeated Napoli 2-1. Messi did not play due to a quote-unquote calf injury.
Everybody loves soccer information during the headlines. I am on the outskirts.
I'm not complaining with that, Hawk.
No, you like soccer,
I
right?
love soccer.
Yeah, you're a huge soccer fan. Yeah. Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, this is really cool, I think. The Yankees and White Sox have announced they will play at the Field of Dreams. The game will take place at the baseball diamond made famous by the movie of the same name on August 13th, 2020 in Dyersville, Iowa in front of 8,000 fans.
They showed that on social media today. It is so badass. That is good. And it's going to be on national TV, White Sox and Yankees, at the cornfields, if you've seen Field of Dreams. And if you haven't, shame on you.
And since it is Throwback Thursday, happy birthday to Dan Day, a.k.a. Dapper Dan, turning 75.
Dan Day. Him?
No, Dapper Dan, you know, the guy who dressed out LL Cool J and all the cool rappers in the 80s.
Ooh, scared me for a second because
75.
I was going to tell him you are still killing it for 75, Dan Day. Because I was guessing around what, 65?
Yeah, that's more like it.
All right, there you go. Headlines with Dan Day. Any sponsors or you already covered that? I wasn't listening.
No, we're not doing sponsors today. They told me do not do sponsors. Do not do weather. And then Alex Solana ran off, and I told him, breathe.
ran off in a puddle of sweat. Speaking of Throwback Thursdays, I had tweeted out earlier today, ColecoVision was released in August of 1982. This month in 1982, ColecoVision, which is one of the greatest video game consoles of all time. What was your first video game console?
I didn't get my own video game console until Sega Genesis.
Oh, really?
So I had to go to friends' houses to play Nintendo and even Atari.
Yeah, Atari 2600 and then Atari 7800.
My mom was like, no, we got to wait till you get to a certain age. And then I finally got a Sega Genesis.
ColecoVision was amazing.
It went from
Atari to Intellivision, and they were both, you know, really rudimentary graphics. And then ColecoVision actually mirrored what you were playing in arcades and came with Donkey Kong. And so it was like, it was just, you couldn't believe you were playing the version of Donkey Kong that you had played in the arcades. You were playing it at home. Because I don't know if you ever saw Atari 2600 Pac-Man. Like, you know, like, you can Google video it, Google image search it. Like, Atari 2600 Pac-Man, which everyone was so excited about. Oh, they're going to release Pac-Man on the Atari 2600. I mean, it's just, you know, the mouth doesn't move. Pac-Man doesn't, like, Pac-Man's always facing right or left. Like, he never turns. Like, it was so basic. And we still played it for hours. But ColecoVision really changed everything. Anyway, and then the other thing, just as a side note, yesterday, towards the end of the show, I mentioned, then I tweeted out, I had no idea how much traction this would get on Twitter, but Pizza Hut announced that they're closing 500 dine-in stores yesterday. And I had tweeted out, and I said yesterday at the end of the show, the Pizza Hut lunch buffet used to be a banger, man. Do you remember that at all?
I remember that. I have fond memories of the dine-in Pizza Huts because the Pizza Hut in, I know you and I both have Chicago roots, in Libertyville, Illinois, that was a place where, as an elementary school student, they had a book club that you could do through Pizza Hut. And so if you read a certain number of books, you could go in and you get a free pan pizza. And so it was a big deal. Like, we go Friday night, like, friends, the parents, we'd all go there. And then, speaking of arcades, they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade game in the Pizza Hut. So we'd go to the Pizza Hut. We'd get the pizza, which was always really good, and then we'd, you know, ask our parents for quarters so we could play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle video game. Those are my memories of Pizza Hut. And, Hawk, when I was in high school, I worked at a Pizza Hut.
Did you really?
So that actually—
Was it a delivery or was it a restaurant?
Unfortunately, it was not a dine-in place. It was just a delivery. But, yeah, it all came full circle
for
me.
Man, they used to have this lunch buffet at Pizza Hut, and it was just, you know, it's like the middle of the restaurant, kind of like a kitchen island, and they'd throw some pizzas out there and some breadsticks. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, tweeted me, "The only reason you liked it is because it was close to UM and one person paid and four roommates ate for free. That's why you put them out of business." That is untrue. I mean, it may have happened once or twice, but for the most part, that is untrue. Greg Likens is in. So Crowder is at Hard Rock Stadium. He's got the Dolphins pregame show with Chris Whittingham. That begins in 20 minutes on 560 The Joe, WQAM. And then you'll have action tonight at Hard Rock Stadium. It is Dolphins and Falcons. The line, if you care, the line right now in the game is anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5. Dolphins are favorites.
Can we just stop for a second and acknowledge this moment? Because could I make the argument, Hawk, that this is going to be the only time all season they're going to be favorites? This may be the one week of the entire season, preseason or otherwise, that we can say the Dolphins are betting favorites.
The regular season early lines, because it was a story on several websites, the regular season early lines, and they're way too early because some teams don't know who their starting quarterback is, and there's still going to be injuries, obviously, and whatnot, and things are going to change as the season goes on. A team that you think might be awful may end up being better than they were. A team that you might have thought was going to be good may end up being worse than you thought. But right now, all 16 games, the Dolphins are indeed underdogs. If you look to bet all 16 regular season games, it's one of the first times ever that a team is not a favorite in a single game. I hadn't even thought of that, but you're right. Tonight, the Dolphins go into Hard Rock Stadium as the favorites. We should enjoy that
a little bit, right?
We should enjoy it.
We should be savoring this up until kickoff, because then who knows what's going to happen. But savor this. That this may be a feeling we do not have the rest of the calendar year.
You follow the NFL and you've been around the Dolphins for a long time. Vegas sets their over-under on wins for the season at 4.5, which is the lowest in the league. Does that strike you as too low, or you think that's kind of right on point?
That feels right.
Yeah.
It feels like it could be 4-5 seems really fair. So the 4.5 is, I would imagine, is tantalizing for the gamblers out there.
It's so low that you want to think like, yeah, you know, you're in a division where you're going to play Buffalo twice and you're going to play the Jets twice. Like, to get to 5 wins doesn't seem like the hardest thing in the world, but man, all the teams that we look at where we go, oh, it's the Buffalo Bills twice and the Jets twice, like those teams are pointing as the Dolphins as the surefire wins on their schedule. Like, as many teams as we do that to, like, any team in the league is pointing at the Dolphins. If there's a radio host going over a schedule game by game, which you know happens in every market, every city when that NFL schedule comes out, I would say to you there is not a radio host in a city that plays the Dolphins that when they got to that Dolphins game didn't say, that goes in the W column.
Right.
Like, that's how they're thought of. So 4.5 may end up being high. I don't know. All I know is every year in the NFL, there seem to be surprises. Like, I thought the Jets last season were going to be epically bad. It was the season before, because they ended up being able to draft Sam Darnold because they were so bad. Mm-hmm. But I thought they were going to be a 1 or 2 win team. Like, there's teams, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Cleveland. Cleveland is as confusing to me as any NFL team. On paper, like you were talking about too, like Olivier Vernon and Myles Garrett, and you got a potent offense as well. Like, that team on paper should be really good. But would you be that surprised if they were 6-10?
No, because they've got what could be a chaotic mix in that locker room.
Yep.
With all the different
first year head coach.
Freddie Kitchens, that's the guy that nobody seems to be mentioning. Everybody mentions Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, and then go on down the list of all these star name players. But is anybody confident in Freddie Kitchens' ability to utilize his leadership or lack thereof to make sure that all those egos are in place and that for 16 games they're all going to be on the same page? Because you know if there's a bad quarter, a bad half, a bad game in which they lose, they're not supposed to, things could go sideways really quickly.
Yeah, think about a game where they lose and Odell gets 3 targets. I mean, or Jarvis gets half the targets that he was getting last season. You know, as much as he wanted Odell on that team and whatnot, like, they'll be jawing at each other.
Right.
It'll be interesting.
You imagine David Njoku has, like, a 3-touchdown game, and then Landry and Beckham are on the sidelines sulking. Right?
Because they don't get those touchdown catches.
Right.
Anyway, we've got about 45 minutes here on the Hockman and Crowder simulcast extravaganza, which is neither Hockman and Crowder nor a simulcast. But what the hell? We're all confused. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
Credibility. With that being said, Hawk, I want to see Josh Rosen as much as possible. We need to see what he is.
You have kind of a one-season window because not that you don't have him for the next 3 seasons or so. Based on his contract, it's easy to keep him, but you got to know what to do in next year's draft.
Right.
Like, you don't want to waste another draft if you actually need or don't need a quarterback. But I'm kind of with you, though, and Crowder says it all the time. You can't lose the locker room. You can't risk that. I almost think it would be a little bit similar to Hugh Jackson in Cleveland last year, where he went with Tyrod Taylor, and I think everyone knew that Baker Mayfield was a better quarterback at that point.
Correct.
And when he had to go to Baker, he was kind of proven pretty publicly wrong. and so, yeah, you run that risk. But I don't, like, you know, if you're Dolphins front office, you also don't want to waste any moment of opportunity that you have to figure out what you have at quarterback, because The last thing you want to do is to get into another Ryan Tannehill situation, which is I see glimpses, and so it's probably worth going with that guy because can we turn those glimpses into consistencies? But then all of a sudden, it's 7 years later, and you know you haven't won a single playoff
game. And it's a never-ending story of the same narrative every offseason. Yeah, so you need to see as much of Josh Rosen as possible for every reason you just described. You need to be able to make an educated decision in the draft next year, and you don't want this hanging over your head. You don't want that story to continue to be told. And I understand that Brian Flores has his job to do, but really, to me, Hawk, if you look at the upcoming season, considering the low expectations for the team as a whole, and those expectations aren't shared in that facility, I get it. But to me, a successful season for the Dolphins this year will be if we determine whether Josh Rosen's the guy or not.
Right, that's it.
That's
right?
it.
That's it.
Nothing else has to happen.
And even tonight, like I had said to Crowder, what do you want? We had a Rhonda Gadsden on this week. Like, what do you want? Randy McMichael on this week. What do you want to know Thursday night? Coming out of tonight's first preseason game, what do you want to know? Everybody wants to get out, obviously, with no injuries. That's a no-brainer. Nobody, other than me, cares what the final score is. But that's only because I have money and I'm a degenerate. But nobody cares the final score. Everybody wants to get out without injuries. But I asked Channing, Aronde, Randy McMichael, like, what do you want to know on Thursday? You know, Aronde was saying, you start to learn which players are players, which, you know, bubble guys are actually NFL-worthy players. But I think a lot of people, they want to see what Josh Rosen can do tonight, although I don't know how much he's going to play. What would be your guess?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of how much he's going to play, but also how much he's going to play with the first-team offensive line and some of the skill position players. My guess is he'll get a good amount of playing time, but it won't be with that first unit. My guess is actually that the second preseason game is when Josh Rosen will start. I think that Brian Flores doesn't want to tell us what he's doing. That's fine. He's from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. But my vision on this is that Ryan Fitzpatrick has earned the right to start this game. And if Josh Rosen keeps trending in the direction he is, that he'll earn the right to start next week's game. And each guy will get their opportunity with the first team offense. And whoever performs better will have the leg up on who starts the beginning.
It's another thing that we talked about this week is you have a suspect offensive line as it is.
Right.
Your ones are suspect. Now you start putting them in, you know, under the protection of twos. And you run this risk, I think, of wrecking his confidence. I think you run the risk tonight. Like, here's the risk to me. If I'm Brian Flores, the risk is, and I know we can give everything context. You can always give stuff context. Well, he was behind a bad offensive line, or well, he was behind an offensive line that was the second string, and it's even a first string offensive line that's probably second string on most NFL teams. So you can say that, but the narrative gets created by the writers and social media and fans. And the narrative, this is where I think Brian Flores runs a risk tonight. He wants to get some reps, obviously, for Josh Rosen. He wants to see how he handles game situations, wants to see him out there on the big stage and whatnot. But, man, you could create a narrative, I believe, that wrecks him, which is if he ends up on his back all night long, or he's overthrowing or underthrowing receivers because he's under pressure all night long and just has to get rid of the ball, not many people are going to give enough context to the protection. Not many people are going to give enough context to who he's out there playing with or against. And it just starts to write this narrative of, yeah, what you saw in Arizona was the guy that you're going to get. But by the same token, you got to get him reps. And you got to see what he can do. Real tough situation. For me, if I'm Brian Flores, real tough situation tonight.
Right, because ideally, if you have all of those issues in the offensive line, then Jake Rudock should play most of the game.
Right.
Right?
But then what are you doing?
You're right, exactly. What are you accomplishing in this game? Granted, you have four preseason games to figure this out. One of the players I will say that, you know, along the lines of what Aronde was saying, that everybody wants to know if he can actually do it in a game, is this Preston Williams, this wide receiver who has gotten rave reviews. Xavien Howard said after their quasi-scrimmage that he could be a number one wide receiver one day. And it's like, okay, we've heard that about Devontae Parker in practice. Now what can you do in the game? And I hope the blocking's good enough. He and Rosen seem to have good repertoire and camaraderie there. We'll see. I think that that's the guy that Rosen, if the two of them are playing together, that perhaps he could shine because he's got a talented guy on the outside that could make up for some lack of blocking.
There's a couple little storylines involving players that might make the team and could be difference makers that I'm interested in. Obviously, Alan Hearns, we haven't heard his name much since he signed, but as a UM guy, I always get excited by that. By the same token, Mark Walton. Mm-hmm. Love to see Mark Walton on the team. I think we were talking with Adam Beasley this week, who told us, yeah, he's going to be the number three running back. Like he said, I'd be surprised if he doesn't make the team. But the Preston Williams, like the little subplots for me that I'm just kind of interested in as a Dolphins fan, Preston Williams, because of all the raves that he's getting from the beat writers, Alan Hearns and Mark Walton because of the UM connections. Like, those are a couple little subplots. But really, tonight, it's about the quarterbacks, I think, right? It's about the quarterbacks. I'm curious, like, we saw the first few days of practice or whatever, Ryan Fitzpatrick seemed to have a chemistry with Devontae Parker. Remember, you were reading that on every social media account from all the writers that Devontae Parker is going to look like a new receiver, although we've heard that just about every camp that we go through. But there will be some interesting moments, I think, with Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. I don't know if he lasts a series or two series. And then an interesting, you know, series of events with Josh Rosen out there to see who he might have some chemistry with and who he leans towards and if he's willing to throw the ball deep or if he's looking to check down every time. Like, but again, that all comes with the context of the protection too. There's just a lot of moving pieces tonight.
The other thing, just taking a step back and looking at this Dolphin season as a whole, Hawk, I hearken back to draft weekend. Had the Dolphins not traded for Josh Rosen, what would be compelling about this game or any of the games of the upcoming season? Because really, the quarterback situation has been the main talking point. It's the top storyline, and there's a huge divide between everything else and that. And if Josh Rosen hadn't been added, we'd be talking about Fitzpatrick and Rudock and, you know,
Christian Wilkins.
And it's like, what else? What would the meaning be for this season?
No, you're exactly right. It's a great point, because had they not gotten Josh Rosen, this was going to be a throwaway season. And I would kind of make the analogy with the Miami Heat. Had they not gotten Jimmy Butler, it was a season of nothing. There was no excitement. How many seasons can you go through? Is Deion Waiters going to be back?
Right, because Wade leaves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that was it. Wade was the story last season. You were going to have a season devoid of storylines or interesting players, and then they go out and get Jimmy Butler. You're right. The Dolphins, the most interesting thing would have been Ryan Fitzpatrick, I guess. You know, is Devontae Parker going to play like a
first-round
draft?
We'd be really stretching it. Yeah.
Stretching is right. But there is, like, this. There actually is drama now, at least. You could be Dolphins fans. Again, we're, 4 hours away from, 4 hours away from kickoff, preseason game number one. You could be Dolphins fans, and I know you don't want to hear this, and I don't want to make you change the radio station. You could be on the cusp tonight of seeing the next great quarterback lining up for the Miami Dolphins. I'm not talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't think. I think those days have passed him. Or you could start to see tonight another coming of Ryan Tannehill. Or you could start to see something tonight that resembles hot garbage. I mean, there's really this wide berth of what could possibly happen this season, and tonight.
What would be the recent Dolphins quarterback other than Ryan Tannehill that it could be that would not be good? Would it be the next coming of Chad Henne, of John Beck?
I think Chad Pennington is the only one worth mentioning, right?
Right, but I'm saying, like, on that scale, yes, you could have
From what to what?
Right, like, you could have certainly the next Dan Marino, right? I mean, that's what we're all hoping for at some point, that the Dolphins will figure that out. You could have some run-of-the-mill guy, or you could have, you know, at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, John Beck, like you said, Pat White,
I don't know.
You know, like, we've had some doozies, yes, man. I have this this website. I don't know if you ever heard me read the names off it. I have this website. I haven't done a lot with it, but we sell T-shirts. It's honkedofflikeagoose.com.
Yes, I've heard that.
So we have a shirt that's called Know Your History, and it's all the Dolphins starting quarterbacks since Dan Marino. Was starting quarterbacks, because people always text in, Pat White's not on the list, or, you know, he never started a game.
Right.
Starting quarterbacks since Dan Marino: Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and maybe Josh Rosen will be added to that. That is an unbelievable list of futility.
It really is.
It is staggering when you read it like that. That is every quarterback that has started a Dolphins game since Dan Marino. You know, Culpepper, when he was with Minnesota, was a great quarterback, just was never able to overcome that injury. Jay Fiedler was probably better than a lot of people thought in hindsight. A.J. Feely came with such great promise. It was trying to look through this list here, man. Chad Pennington, I mean, you lucked into him for one season because of Brett Favre. But, man, that is an unbelievably staggering list.
And to top that off, I saw this on ESPN last week. They were going over, you know, on Get Up. Now they've got a trivia question kind of at the bottom of every hour.
Yep. And which Jalen Rose is unbelievable at getting right.
Yes.
He is amazing.
So this one was about the longest gap between, for a franchise, between Pro Bowl appearances for a quarterback. Like currently, who's the longest void as far as a quarterback appearing in a Pro Bowl? And it was the Dolphins. 23 years.
Holy moly.
23 years.
But all I need to read the t-shirt to you one more time, Dolphins fans, as we count down till kickoff, 4 hours till preseason game one. Here are your starting quarterbacks since Dan Marino: Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and expected to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen at the beginning of the season. It is an unbelievable list. You couldn't.
I mean, that tells you everything you know about the whole organization.
Yep.
I mean,
no, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have an organization.
You can simplify it with just
That's proof in the pudding how important a quarterback is to any successful football organization. We got about 25 minutes left before I turn things over to Greg Likens and Brian Monroe. You got Dolphins preseason game one tonight. Dolphins fans are excited. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back after this. Bill had to come in, and then I think Greg Cody famously wrote a column saying it is time for Dan Marino to step aside for Scott Mitchell. No joke.
If I have it right, I believe it was when Marino had the Achilles injury.
Yes, and Scott Mitchell tore it up for a few games. Yeah,
and that's the way fans are fickle. It doesn't matter what market, who the quarterback is.
I mean, you're talking about Dan Marino, though.
Right.
But there was the lead columnist calling for Scott Mitchell. Like, Dan Marino, it's time to pull the plug on Marino and head over to Scott Mitchell. Somebody texted in, that's a whole lot of pain and agony in that list. That it is. Somebody asked, what about putting Ricky and Ronnie on that list? I'm sure they started in the Wildcat at some point during that. Yeah, it is quite the list of futility. And like we were saying, you know, you see, this is why there's so much on the line this season for the Dolphins. You can call it a meaningless season because they don't have the talent really to compete for a playoff spot, let alone a Super Bowl. But you see what's on the line for this season. This might be more important Dolphin season than, you know, the season for the Patriots. I mean, there's a few teams. Cleveland Browns, this can be an unbelievably important season for them. I think the Oakland Raiders, it's going to be an unbelievably important season for them. They got to know what to do with Derek Carr, and they want to have some semblance of something before they move to Las Vegas, right? They don't want to be a complete disaster. Like, there's certain teams this season that have stuff on the line. But I think the Dolphins are one of those teams that have a ton on the line this season, because if you don't want that shirt to continue into like a nightshirt that the grandpa was wearing in Willy Wonka, where it's down to his ankles, you've got to correct that. You know what I mean? Like, you'll go through, I mean, how long has it been since Dan? You said 23 years since a Pro Bowl quarterback?
Since Marino made the Pro Bowl.
23 years. That list says it all. Fiedler, Heward, Lucas, Greasy, Feely, Rosenfels. By the way, Greasy, Brian, not Bob. Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henne, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen. Like, you have to be able to put someone on that shirt that ends that shirt, because without having the right name on there, you know, there's only so far you can go with a Trent Dilfer. You have to have an epic defense like Baltimore did, right? Like, I mean, you have to, the Brad Johnsons, there's always the outliers of a quarterback that maybe was an elite. But man, you end up in just this hamster wheel of futility, which is why this season is so important, because if they do have something with Josh Rosen, boom, you hit a lottery ticket for a couple of bucks. And if you don't have something with Josh Rosen, then you gotta know, because Jake Fromm's gonna be out there, and Tua Tagovailoa, like there's Justin Herbert, like there's going to be guys. So this is a really important season.
Yeah, because you gotta make that crystal clear. Worst case scenario for the Dolphins is if Fitzpatrick plays like half the season, and then the other eight games you got Rosen, and to the point you were making earlier, you get some good performances from him and others not so much, but there's enough there that people may have that Ryan Tannehill-esque feeling where you're like, hey, you know what, maybe we should give him another shot. Like, the Dolphins out of this season need to know unequivocally whether Josh Rosen has a future or not. And if you know that, good or bad, then this season's been a success, and then you can make an educated decision, because best case scenario, he's actually really good, and we're not seeing it yet, but he ends up being a really good player, and you're like, we feel confident in his ability to be the quarterback moving forward, and then you can spend all those draft picks next year on building a good team around him. And yeah, you don't have to worry about Tua and all those other guys, but you can get some really good quality players who will be here for years to come.
Yeah, the only possibility after this season where you go, that was a waste, is if you get to game 16 and you're not certain what Josh Rosen is.
What is he?
Yeah. That would be the worst case scenario. Somebody texts in, you know, we've been doing this, Crowder and I, since the simulcast, which is not a simulcast today, but normally is, take all the stations, Papa. That is our motto. Take all the stations, Papa. Somebody texts in, take all the stations, Papa. Make that a T-shirt with the Thanos glove and all the radio stations as the stones. I'm thinking about that. Somebody else texts in, Who has more listeners right now, you or Crowder? I don't know, but I can guarantee you Crowder doesn't have the text machine up there, because he travels light when he's doing a remote broadcast. So that's going to do it for me. An abbreviated show for me this afternoon. Greg Likens is going to remain here till 6 o'clock. Brian Monroe, he is out in the bullpen warming up. I mean, we are going through pitchers today, man. Solana went over to the Dolphins broadcast. Dan Day came in to spell him. Now
shift
I'm
change.
Leaving. Yeah, shift change. Brian Monroe's coming in with his line. So Dolphins action tonight, preseason game one, 7:30 kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium. And I'm excited about it. I ain't going to lie. So I will speak with you tomorrow from Margaritaville, along with Channing Crowder. We'll be back to normal tomorrow. We'll cover everything that happened in tonight's Dolphins game. I leave you in the capable hands of Greg Likens and Dan Day and Brian Monroe. They will take a quick break here, and then they'll come back and they will keep you entertained up until 6 o'clock this evening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.